We are on a series of Ten Commandments, and the past few weeks, we've been tracing through these Ten Commandments. And God did not give a legalistic checklist that how we should live our life, but it was given as a roadmap how to live our life thriving, how to love our God in every practical life of our days. Now, if you look at the first four commandments, it is a progressive structure as we looked at it. It started with our heart. God says, hey, you have a void in your heart. You want to grasp everything around you and let there be nothing in your heart. Try to fill your heart. Let me be the only one to fill your heart. The first commandment. And then he goes on the second commandment that you need to make no idols, filtering of our eyes, because our eyes are so powerful weapons that we look something and it's engraved into our hearts and our mind, and we want to grasp what we see. And God says, no, 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 let your eyes be filtered, only look at me. Last week we saw number three commandment, to not misuse God's name. We have mouth and no one is perfect. Control has perfect control of our mouth. We need to discipline our mouth and what we say through our mouth, and let there be only praises to our God with our mouth. Now today, number fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy, it is command for our actions. So it is a progressive from starting from deep in the internal space of our hearts and then to our eyes and to our mouth and to our actions that we live every day. Now, God says on today's command, show me what you do in your life. Show me your calendar. Show me your schedule. Let me see your behaviors and your tangible life, what you actually do in your personal life. God is interested because what you say or what you think is important, as well as what you do is very important. Now, in any relationship, you think about this, whether it be husband, wife, or any marriage, parenting, or business partnership, any marriage or any relationship, you would say, hey, I love you. I dearly love you. But you won't do anything. I mean, you won't spend any time with this other person. You will not spare anything, your care, love, or show your affect, anything. Then that would not be a healthy relationship. Same as with our relationship with God. God wants us to see our actions when we say we love God. Hey, let me see your actions. How do you love me? Show me how you do that. Now, God did not stop at the first commandment being internal affection. Yes, my heart, I have you in my heart. I love you. And he goes on and demands the fourth commandment, hey, show me that you love me. The fourth commandment exists because real love requires a physical manifestation of our actual everyday lives. So, number one, it is for our benefit and protection. Why have God given this command? Now, some may view this first and fourth command as an outdated and obsolete and old school restriction. But the Sabbath wasn't created to limit our potentials, but was engineered to unlock our full design. It was made to benefit us. It was not for God that it was given to us. It was for our benefit. First benefit is rest for our bodies. Now, Sabbath is a physical necessity. We all live busy lives. I mean, completing degrees, getting jobs, securing a home, climbing the corporate ladder, managing mortgages, raising the children, and trying to secure a financial future, and all these were so busy. And we sometimes treat our bodies like high-performance machines 24/7. But the Bible reminds that what we are made of. Psalm 139, You created my inmost parts. You formed me in my mother's womb. I am wonderfully made. Yes, we are wonderfully made, but made from dust, not titanium. We are earthen vessels that has finite biological limits. And when we ignore that built-in cycles that we must stop, that God Creator programmed to us, our bodies will keep score. I mean, look at these cultural data around this classic Monday blues. I heard Monday mornings is the peak day for people desperately searching online how to write a resignation letter. Over 80% of corporate workers, they admit performing sluggish or slow on Mondays. Now, in Germany, they literally have this phrase called Montagswagen, Monday car, to describe a lemon. I mean, somehow, but for some reasons, Monday cars built on Monday that keeps breaking down more than others. And statistics that the risk of experiencing a major heart attack or cardiac event spikes over 20% on Monday mornings. Why? Because of stress and biological disruption. Billions of dollars are spent on wellness applications, corporate retreats, and productivity hacks to fix our exhaustion. Now, those who work in operations, manufacturing, or infrastructure, they know this, all about this scheduled maintenance. You don't run a multi-million dollar machine line for over and over again, 24/7, 365, without ever taking off online. Why? Because friction is real, and heat builds up. Parts wear down. If you don't intentionally put a stop and do a scheduled maintenance, the system will collapse. If you don't change the filters, if you don't update the software, if the system goes offline to stop, eventually the system, the machine, will schedule that maintenance for you. You see, the ultimate productivity hack is thousands of years old. The Creator had put a stop on our life that we should cease to work and stop for one day. If we take this command to put a stop in our work, it will not only give a productivity, but it will flourish our life. God, the master engineer who designed our body and our psychology, looked at our frame and said, hey, this system needs weekly maintenance. When we ignore Sabbath, we're not just beating the system, we're just delaying the crash. The burnout, the sudden health problems, the relational breakdown, the deep anxiety. That is our system forcing an unscheduled maintenance to us because we're not stopping. We're not making that cease or stop that is necessary in our life. I heard this from a CEO of a company who has many factories overseas. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of workers working for him. And he says, there's this defect rate, this accident rate, always higher on Mondays. So curious. I mean, why on Mondays this defects? I mean, why accidents happen more on Mondays? And so he tried out to trace what's happening. And those workers who spent, you know, parties and those drinking spree over the weekend, who are the culprit of those results on Monday? You see, you and I, we were made to cease and to rest. God so created us to stop and take rest. It is for our benefit. Number two, it is for rest for our souls. I mean, Sabbath is also for the life support system for our soul. When you and I, we are running 100 miles an hour and busy, so fast paced this pace, the urgent things always take precedence, priority than important things. The demands of our career, finances, social obligations always takes the precedence, importance, priority in our life. Now, you and I, we can take 2 weeks off vacation to a remote place in a nice beach resort, completely disconnected. I mean, you disconnect everything. Just spend those 2 weeks off from everything that you do in usual daily life, away from your emails, your notifications, nothing. Just completely off and just spend 2 full weeks sleeping over 10 hours a night. You would come back feeling, you know, so good, but at the same time, you'll feel empty. Why? Because your body has rested for 2 weeks, but your spirit has not. We are fundamentally spiritual beings. True rest isn't the absence of labor, but true rest is the presence of God in our life. Our souls would only be joyful, satisfied in the presence of God. Keeping the Sabbath isn't a favor that we do it for God. It is for our souls. You know this Formula One racing, this 300 kilometers or over, I mean, these fast track cars, they run and run. And every single millisecond counts. And sports where margin of victory is often a fraction of time, there is no time to stay back. But they would have to stop in a pit stop. I mean, they would have to let this crew of people do a quick maintenance. But this, however seconds that they have to stop, seems to be massive. But no Formula One driver, no matter how expert driver he or she may be, can win a race without a pit stop. Why? If they refuse to stop to change the tires, re-lubricate and re-filter and refuel, the tires will degrade, they will lose the grip, and they will overheat, and they will spin out into the wall. The pit stop isn't an interruption to the race. It is what makes finishing the race possible. We live a high-velocity race, feeling like we are running the race, and we can't afford to stop. But the Sabbath is God's mandated pit stop. When we pause to worship, to pray and connect with other community, to come to church and rest for our spirit, we're not losing the ground. We're getting our tires changed. We are refueled with God's grace. And we have this power to focus for the Monday morning and to the rest of the week. Those who go for weekend getaways from Friday to Sunday, skipping Sunday worship, but busy with activities, traveling, tours, and just a weekend escape. They want to get away from all the hustles and bustles of the week, but they expect when they come back from that weekend getaways, they will be free from these all the hassles, all the stress, but surprised. They face fatigue, tiredness, and even more unproductive dull Monday. Why is that? They have failed to execute God's spiritual principle to put a stop and put a scheduled maintenance. Okay, we understand about the Sabbath, but why is it changed? Why is it shifted from the Saturday to Sunday, you might ask? Well, how should we practice the Sabbath keeping in modern day time for us? To understand how Sabbath applies to us, a modern believer, we have to look at how this execution of Saturday Sabbath has become Sunday worship. There was a change. Historically, the Jewish Sabbath was from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, commemorating God's creation. Now today, everywhere in the globe, any church gathering, primarily they meet on Sunday. Now, why the shift? It was an accident that had happened, but it was a profound theological realignment. Now, Jesus completely disrupted this legalistic, performance-driven Sabbath of the Pharisees. When his disciples were criticized for picking the grains on the Sabbath, Jesus threw down a radical truth bomb. This is what he said. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see, Jesus claimed ownership of the Sabbath and the rest of himself. And then Jesus changed history all for once, for the first day of the week, Sunday. Jesus walked out of the tomb and shattering the power of sin, death, and spiritual exhaustion. And following Jesus' resurrection, the early church immediately shifted their practice. The book of Acts records them gathering and breaking the bread on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. Paul instructed the Corinthian church to set aside their tithings and offerings on the first day of the week, Sunday. By the time John writes Revelation, Sunday is explicitly designed as the Lord's Day. So a shift from Saturday Sabbath to Sunday worship happened. And there is a shadow and a reality here. The shift happened because the Old Testament Sabbath was a shadow and the New Testament is the reality of the shadow. Think of it as a blueprint versus the actual finished building, or a model home versus the actual apartment. I mean, when you are handed the key to that apartment, you would go in and reside in that apartment. You would not hang around in that model home anymore. Throughout Scripture, the Old Testament, the rigid old covenant faded away. It's done and it's no more as the ultimate spiritual realities are unlocked in Christ Jesus. The rigid distinction that the Jews and Gentiles were separated no longer. It was torn down at the cross that Jesus said you are one in Christ altogether. The exclusive line of Levitical priesthood is no longer, that every believer is now the royal priesthood. The physical temple in Jerusalem is no longer. It is replaced because we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit residing in us. The strict food laws in the Old Testament is fulfilled because the purity is true in the hearts, not in the menu. You see, all these things are new today. The Sabbath follows the same pattern, and it is seen in Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Saturday Sabbath was a shadow pointing to what is to come as a reality, Christ Lord Jesus. And where do we find this substance? We find it in Jesus' invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. True Sabbath isn't just keeping a, you know, weekend rest. True Sabbath isn't just moving from Saturday to Sunday. It's all about anchoring our soul in the anchor of Lord Jesus Christ. The finished work of the Jesus Christ is our anchor, and that is our basis of our true rest in Christ. So, what is the core? What is at the core of observing Sunday as the Lord's Day? We are celebrating a new creation, a redemption through Christ. Now, here's something that we want to think about. There's a math of grace. When God created, he did it with his command, with a voice. God commanded, and the creation happened. And the Bible poetically says that his fingers, Psalm 8 says, his fingers were involved in creating all these things. But to redeem you and me, to forgive our sins, to save us and rescue us from this toxic sin in our life, required the shedding of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Redemption cost God far more, infinitely more than creation. Therefore, when we set apart the Lord's Day in our life, coming to worship our Lord Jesus, we're proclaiming to the world, to let others know, and our families members to know, and to employees, to everybody to know that my identity is not defined by what I produce. My security is not defined by my hustles, but my life is anchored in Jesus Christ, who bought me, redeemed me, and called me his own. Setting apart the Lord's Day and worshiping is a proclamation. Let the world know that where and who I belong to. Keeping the Sunday worship is a declaration to around us that my life is anchored in the Redeemer who saved me. So as a conclusion, what is keeping the fourth command? The fourth command is an ultimate diagnostic tool for all believers. It asks a simple, devastatingly simple question. Do you trust God enough to put a stop in working? When we refuse to rest, when we refuse to prioritize our worship, we are operating under the delusion that we are sustaining our lives. We don't want to be enslaved to relentlessly working and working. We need to put a stop. Put a stop to our life and put a stop to our work and serve the master of our life, because we are no longer slaves to ourselves, but sons and daughters of the King. And that's our challenge. Don't settle for an abstract appreciation in our mind. Arrive at a radical transformation. Make today the defining fork in the road. Don't let the relentless pace of this world fool you and dictate your life. Build your life in a faith action of Creator who has put a stop in our life. Now, how do we do that? Number one, reset your boundaries. Decide that the Lord's Day belongs strictly to Him. Protect your worship time like your life depends on it. Your spiritual life does. Surrender the hustle. Stop checking the work, notifications, smartphones, Instagrams, and notebook. Trust that God can do more with 6 days of your obedience than you can do it with 7 days of your anxiety. Thirdly, anchor in the substance. Bring out the burnout, your career anxiety, your exhaustion to the feet of Jesus. Lay it down to the Lord. Trust the Lord of the Sabbath. So please, would you repeat after me? I will put a stop to my life in the rest of Christ. Let's do that one more time. I will put a stop in my life to the rest in the rest of Christ. That's right. Putting a stop in our life in Christ ought to be a daily practice. In Old Testament, they did it once a week, only on Sabbath day. Now we have Jesus Christ in our life, and we can do it over and over again in our daily life. Praise, adore, worship our Lord Jesus is a daily thing. We want to do it as a discipline of life, life of our lives, coming to Jesus, laid everything to Lord Jesus, and trust that Jesus will give us the true peace, rest, and blessings abundantly. And only when we do that, we will be aligned with everything else in our life. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we have brought into the lie of this endless grind. We have treated our bodies, minds, and souls like machines, ignoring the actions and stops that you design for our good. We choose to step out of the stress of self-reliance and declare Jesus Christ is our true rest. We commit to honoring the Lord's Day, not as a legalistic chore, but as an act of defiant love and trust in you. Take the center seat of our schedules, our careers, and our families. Pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.